This week on the Time Bat Show, you can milk anything with nipples. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 44 of the Time Bat Show. I'm Timeasis.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
I think this is 44. See, I lose track
at this point. I check?
No.
I think 44 sounds
right. We're rolling with 44. If it's not 44, we'll edit a robot voice over my voice saying episode 44 or something like that.
Yes.
Is that a good idea?
That is a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've lost track of the episode numbers at this point.
You know, we should do that anyway. We should get a voice of, like, not anything that sounds even remotely like us. We should get a girl robot voice, like a 44.
Like whenever we... That should be the intro, like a girl robot voice just introducing the show.
Hello. I'm okay with that being a thing every week.
Everyone,
from now on.
Welcome.
It's to not the whole, the not the whole intro, just the number part.
Just the 44 episode number 44. Well, that didn't sound robotic enough. I don't know how to do a robot girl voice. I'm sorry.
Neither do I.
How's it going today?
It's going pretty good.
Good. Anything exciting going on in the world of Bat Snacks?
No. I guess same as always.
You always have the most interesting response to that question. You, like, think about it for, like, 10 seconds, or, like, a few seconds, you're like, no.
No.
Well, you told me before the episode started, you finished a book recently.
I did, and I have $7 worth of library fines to pay.
What? Yes. Why didn't you renew it?
Well, because I didn't feel like it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good answer.
I didn't feel like going to the library for a bunch of days in a row.
Do you remember, last week, you were raving about how great the library was.
It is great.
And now the tables have turned and the library is against you.
I am okay with paying library fines because it keeps the library open.
Didn't you rent a movie from the library recently?
I did. I rented Going Clear.
Well, then why didn't you renew the book while you were there?
Because I still was reading the book.
Yeah, but can't you renew it while you're at the library?
Okay, the book was still sitting on my bed, and...
Oh, you can't renew it unless you bring it?
You can do an online renewal, but I just didn't. I'm really lazy. Like, last Friday is when the movie was due, so I took the movie in, but I left the book on my bed, and I was like, whatever, I'll just renew it online later.
And then you never did.
I just didn't, yeah.
So you can renew online now. See, like, I'm so out of the loop with libraries. I haven't been to a library in so long.
You can renew online as long as someone hasn't put a hold on it.
Mm.
But no one had put a hold on
it. What happens if someone puts a hold on it?
Then you have to bring it back.
Oh, but you can trounce on their hold by bringing it back and be like, screw that person. It's mine now.
I'm renting it again. No, you can't do that. If there's a hold, you can't re-rent it.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Really? You can't do that?
No, a hold negates the re-rent.
How long do you get it for?
It depends. A book you get for, like, 3 weeks, depending on the book, about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
A movie you get for between, like, 3 and 7 days.
And there's late fees, huh?
Yeah, you can... Movies are ridiculous. They're $1 a day.
Whoa.
And everything else is less. Like CDs, I think you get to keep for like 2 weeks, and audiobooks you get to keep for like 3 weeks.
Sure. Learning a lot about the library today.
You should check out the library. I keep telling you to.
Go to your local library at www.library.com. No, I don't know if that's a website.
Just type public library into Google Maps.
I'm going to go to library.com, see what happens. Library.com.
What is library?
Brings me to nowhere.
Is it just like a domain parker?
Yeah, it's not. No, it's not even a parker. It's a nothing. It doesn't. Oh wait. No, it's not a thing.
That domain probably costs like $500,000, and no one just wanted to pay up for it.
Yeah, this isn't a thing.
That's a shame.
Wow, this is crazy. Oh well, whatever. I don't know. Anyway, so go to your local library.
Yeah.
Because it's good, apparently. I don't know.
Anyway, the book I finished was 1Q84 by Haruki Murakami. Mm-hmm. And it was really good. I enjoyed it.
I've heard good things about that book.
So if you've read Time Out of Joint by Philip K. Dick, it's really similar.
I like that book a lot.
Yeah, it's like one person's like dream reality influences a bunch of other people's realities in real life, and and they're all like intertwined, mm-hmm. and they go into like really deep detail with all the characters.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, and Murakami, I've read two of his books now, and I've learned that there's some consistent things that happen in all of his books. There's always classical music, there's always cats, there's always dreams, and there's always really, really horrible sex scenes. like the worst.
Like weird or like...
Like just uncomfortable and awkward and like, oh, I don't want to read this.
That's probably the point of the scene, I guess.
Well, yeah, like if you're reading like an Anne Rice novel or maybe mm-hmm. like a, you know, that kind of novel, and one's coming on, you're like, okay, I can deal with this.
Yeah,
you know?
This is like... This is kind of part of the story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's when you feel one coming on in a Murakami book, it's just like, oh no, oh, here we go again.
It's really uncomfortable and weird.
It's horrible.
That's probably the point, though, huh?
And I think it has to do with like how like sex is in Japanese culture. I think it's like it's more taboo there, so he wants to kind of like throw it in everybody's face.
Like the taboo. I think that's how that make works. People like, uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's being like rebellious or something.
Interesting.
Anyway, yeah, it makes me uncomfortable.
I want to read. I would like to read those. I don't read books that much anymore. It's sad, but I don't. When I was in like high school, I read like a shit ton of books.
Yeah,
And even in college, I read a fair amount of books. But as an adult, I just don't read anymore, and it's depressing because books are cool. The problem is like they take a lot of time.
Yeah.
The other problem, I mean, they don't take that much time, but they take, you know, you have to invest like 30 minutes a day or an hour a day or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get through a book by doing like 30 minutes a day for like a couple weeks and then you get through it, but
yeah,
still, it feels like 30 minutes is a lot. Like on the day, you're like, I don't feel like reading.
Yeah, it's that you have to like, you can't do anything else while you're reading too. Like you can't be like kind of semi-multitasking something else.
No, like when you're watching TV, like you can kind of multitask. When you're on the internet, you can multitask. You know, when you're reading other things, you can kind of multitask. When I'm in a book, like, I want to be completely devoted. I have two problems with reading, okay? And this isn't a problem with, like, books, because I think books are great. They're, like, the greatest invention ever and created by man. But the problems I have is, like, when I'm reading a book, I want to be able to devote, like, a solid chunk of uninterrupted time to that book.
Yeah.
You know, or else, like, I feel like I'm not going to get as much out of it if I'm, like, distracted. Or whatever, so I want to be like, I have 30 minutes or I have an hour, I'm reading this book, you know what I mean? Like, for this much time. And then the other thing is that I have to carve that time out, and in order to do that, I have to find a book that I feel like is going to be worth my time, which is a harder problem than most people realize, because there are so many books out there now in the world, that I feel like if I choose the wrong one, I'm going to be wasting my time. Which, effectively, I am going to be wasting my time.
Yeah.
But
it's easy to choose wrong.
It's very easy to choose wrong. And I feel like book criticism has gotten to the point where if someone, like, liked a book, they'll give it, like, 4 or 5 stars and be like, it was great. But, like, there's a big discrepancy between, like, the best book of all time and a 5-star book. You know what I mean? Like, I've read a bunch of books that other people thought were fantastic, and I was like, it was okay. And then I've read a bunch of books that other people thought were amazing, and I also thought they're amazing. But, like, I don't know, like, going online and, like, reading reviews on Amazon, it's like, 4 stars. It's like, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean it's, like, amazing, or does that mean, like, it's good? You know?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to dedicate, like, 10 hours or so to a book, it either needs to be, like, the best book of all time or the best book in the last 20 years, because that's really all I have time for.
So, like, so I'm, like, really picky, and, like, I'll go to the bookstore sometime, and I'll be like, I should get a book, and I'll, like, look, and I'll be like, none of these are good enough for me. You know, I'll be like, none of these are going to be good, or whatever. And then I'll like read reviews, and some people will be like, "Oh, it was good, but I had a problem with this." And I'm like, "Nope, done with this book. I'm not going to read this book."
Yeah, problem with going to the store too is books are expensive. They're like, they're like $40 for a hardcover.
That bad, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like if you, but getting a wrong book, I mean, not only are you spending a lot of money, you're also like wasting a lot of time.
Yeah, that's my problem. Like I can see, like a movie isn't as much of a commitment, right? You're like, if this is bad, so what? 2 hours wasted, one day, I'm done. That's it. If the book is bad, then I like spent money and now I can't enjoy the rest of this book. Like I can't get my money's worth because I'm not going to read the rest of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. But again, we were talking about this before the show happened. It's a weird, we're at a weird place in the world where some things are easier now than they ever have been, but other things are harder. Like the library. Before, if you wanted to test drive a book, you just go to the library. Now, if you want to test drive a book, no one goes to the library anymore. They buy it on Amazon, and then they throw it away if they don't like it. It's weird. Like, that's weird, you know?
I still go to the library.
I know you do.
But no one else does.
But, like, you know, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you were like, I don't know if this book's for me, I'll get it from the library. And, like, you can still do that, sure, but nobody does it anymore.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know. Anyway, books. Books are
check cool. them out. Do you remember that commercial?
not, I mean, kind of. It sounds familiar.
It was a 90s commercial.
Do it. Do it right now.
It was a commercial to support your public library, and it was like, books, check them out. Oh, and that was the whole,
like,
jingle.
I get it. It's like, check them out, like, look at them, and check them out, like, check them out from the library.
Yeah, it's a double entendre.
I don't know if double entendre is the word you're looking for, but yes, I know what you mean. Yeah. Check them out. Books, check them out. So yeah, we want you to... This is episode is all about books. Glad, and thank you for joining us on this episode 44 of the Time Out Show. All about books. Check them out. We'll be talking about the library more and more as the episode goes on, so settle in. It'll be really good. No, I'm just kidding. Speaking of books, and this actually has nothing to do with books.
Speaking of books... There was a Comic Con.
Speaking of books, there was a comic book convention recently. Oh, nice segue. Well done. Yeah. And there's a bunch of trailers. I like how I was talking about books, and now it's like there's a bunch of trailers for movies that came out at the comic book convention. I always think that's weird because it's not really a comic book convention anymore, is it?
It's more like a culture movie
convention. It's a movie trailer convention. Yes, it really is. So there's a bunch of... Did you see any of the trailers that they put out for movies at no. Comic-Con? There was a few new ones that I thought were interesting. So there's this movie called Ready Player One that's coming out. Have you heard of that?
I've heard the name of the movie.
Yeah. So that's coming out later this year, I believe.
All right. What is that about? Because I know the title, and, you know, Player One is usually the single first player in a video game.
We were talking about books. It was a book first... Like, a few years ago, a book came out called Ready Player One, yes. And I guess I would describe it... I read it. I did not care for it. I don't know why I read it. It was, like, one of the few books... Probably why I don't read books anymore. I'm like, this burned me. I'm not buying books anymore. But it was about... how do I describe it? Okay, you know Neal Stephenson did, like, Snow Crash and all those books? Those cyberpunk-y books? You know William Gibson, Neuromancer?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah. So think of, like, William Gibson cyberpunky stuff in the future, and now, like, water that down to be more, like, not young adult, but, like, appropriate for teenagers, and then add, like, a bunch of, like, 80s pop culture references, and mix that all together, and that's what Ready Player One is.
Yes, like, who's that written for?
Oh, and then add in, like, Ender's Game components to that.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know, people do like virtual reality competition stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's Ready Player One. So it's like about people from the future that's like kind of dystopian-y, sort of, not really, but like, you know, very cyberpunky-ish, if you will. And like people plug in, like jack in, and they like play online games and stuff. And then this whole adventure story about like this kid who's part of it. And it was like, it was an interesting concept. But there was so much pop culture references. I feel like the most of the book was just them, like, talking about old stuff. Like, pop culture. Like, it's enough of the, you know. Like, just get to the story stuff.
I don't know.
So, anyway, that had a trailer. And it looks okay. The only reason I want to see it is because Steven Spielberg is directing it for some godforsaken reason.
That's a weird one for him to
pick. Isn't it? Isn't it?
That's really not a war movie. What is he doing?
Maybe he just wants a big paycheck. No, I don't know. So, like, I really like Steven Spielberg. He's my favorite director. So I will watch any Steven Spielberg movie. So I will see it just for that. I'm worried that it's not going to be good because the script... Like, a movie with a bad script can't really be good no matter what. But that being said, if anyone can make a poorly scripted movie good, it's Steven Spielberg. So we'll see. And then the other trailers, there was a new trailer for It. You've seen It or read It, the original It, the clown.
Yeah, the old horror. I didn't read the book, but I saw the old movie.
The old movie with Tim Curry. Mm-hmm. They're remaking that. It looks decent.
I read about, they pulled some kind of stunt at Comic-Con. Wasn't there like an It running around and like...
Oh, maybe.
Like,
I don't know.
Doing like stunts or something?
I don't read anything about Comic-Con. I just watched the trailers.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, you're probably right. You're probably right. They probably had some stupid clown running around scaring people.
It's a funny movie to choose to remake.
It is. It's weird. Well, I've noticed a trend, and it's interesting. And this is another thing I'm going to bring up. The other trailer was for Stranger Things Season 2, which Stranger Things Season 1 is super good. One of my favorite first seasons of a show. And, you know, that's like a throwback, too. That's like set in the 80s and everything. And It is set in the late 80s. And Ready Player One is all about the pop culture of the 80s. So it's like, we're in an interesting time where a bunch of these people that ostensibly grew up in the 80s are now making all these movies and TV shows about being a kid in the 80s. It's very interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, you've got all these directors that are doing this and all these writers and stuff. And they are basically just a decade earlier than we were, you know? So in 10 years, I'm going to assume we're going to start seeing a bunch of, like, throwback 90s stuff.
Or the 80s guys are just going to do this and just run it into the ground. And then, like, nostalgia movies will just be out forever.
Right. And then you won't be able to do it. But it seems like there's a lot of nostalgia. Like, people are banking on that. Like, the two big movie genres are, like... Like, pop culture genres right now are, like, superheroes and nostalgia. Like, those are the two things, right? It's either superheroes or nostalgia. And either it's nostalgia by, like, homages or nostalgia by literally remakes of old stuff.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't like it.
You don't like the nostalgia stuff?
I mean, it's hard to say you don't like it, isn't it? Because a lot of them are really good.
No, I mean, I agree with you.
But
I really like Stranger Things. I think It looks a little weird, and Ready Player One looks kind of bad. But, I don't know. I do agree there's too much of it going around. I feel like it's like, I don't know, it's weird. Go ahead.
There is an original movie coming out soon. There's a Del Toro movie getting made. What is it called? Moving Water or something?
Oh, Guillermo? Wait, say Guillermo.
I said Del Toro, so I wouldn't have to say
his first name really quick.
Guillermo Del Toro. No, Guillermo Del Toro is making a new movie.
Yeah, it's Shape of Water or something like that. Water. Did you see the trailer for that? I forgot to mention that.
I didn't know there was a trailer. Yeah.
They do have a trailer. Didn't we talk about this last week?
No, we didn't. Isn't that an 80s throwback, too, now that I'm thinking about it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a... I think it's set in, like, the 60s or something.
It's in a previous decade.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's the 80s.
I think it's in the 60s or 50s or something. It seemed... The trailer made it seem very Cold War-esque.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's Cold War. It's before the 80s.
I mean, the Cold War was in the 80s, too. But it seemed like, you know, post-war kind of 50s, 60s kind of thing. Like, it kind of had that, like, feel of, like, not spy movie, but, like, it had the aesthetic of that, if you will. But it looked good. The trailer looks cool. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, that's another thing. A lot of movies are going for, not necessarily 80s. I mean, a lot of them are. But they're going for, like, older decades. And I guess that's been a thing for movies for a very long time. But I feel like we're stuck in some specific decades. You know what I mean? Like, people have made World War II movies for ever since World War II has been around. People yeah. have made movies around that have been set in the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s ever since those decades have been around. And yet, we haven't really seen many movies set in the 90s. We haven't really seen many movies set in the 2000s. Maybe we're just not there yet. Maybe it'll come soon. I thought that was an interesting thing.
Yeah, that is interesting.
It just seems like there's a lot of movies set in like the 60s and 70s. And I guess we're catching up to all of them being set in the 80s now. I don't know. It's like the cycle of movie narratives.
It's like you get old enough to be a career director or writer or screenwriter
and
or
then
what
you,
have you
make a movie about the decade you lived in as a kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that how that goes?
I guess. I'm kind of guessing that's how it is. Anyway, so those are the San Diego Comic-Con trailers that I thought were interesting. One note I thought was funny. So, like, you know the original It? It's very Stephen King, right?
Yeah.
And then they made Stranger Things last year, and Stranger Things was very Stephen King as well, right?
Yeah.
It was, like, very inspired by Stranger
very
Things.
Very monster, yeah.
Stephen King.
Yeah.
And then the new It trailer, it looked to me like it was heavily inspired by Stranger Things. So
that's cool.
That struck me as really, like, funny and humorous. It even has one of the same actors that was in the show, so it's like...
That's awesome, then. The Stranger Things was great.
It's just funny how that works. Anyway, yeah. You had a really interesting animal story that I wanted you to bring up.
I think a lot of people heard about this animal story.
Somehow I didn't, though.
So last week was Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. And the sort of the climax of Shark Week.
Because they always have to have like a big like blockbuster show.
They have to have a huge letdown every year pretty much.
That's
like
one
last
way
year,
to,
I think
that's
it was,
one way to put it.
Last year, I think it was they were going to have a giant snake eat a man and like throw him up. And then they like didn't have it. And everybody was mad.
Was that Shark Week?
It was Discovery.
I remember that. I watched that. The anaconda that ate a man or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't really eat a man.
No, it ate his foot, and then that was it.
Yeah.
It was like an hour long of the snake eating a foot, and then it was like over. And then he's like, "We didn't get all of what we wanted. Sorry." And then the credits rolled, and I was like, "That was really dangerous." And it was like,
"So this year, I guess this year's Discovery Channel stunt during Shark Week, they had Michael Phelps race a great white shark." And I use race like very loosely.
Okay, first of all, were they in the same pool?
Okay.
Together.
All right. So, how about you tell me how you think it happened?
This is my ideal. Okay.
Okay.
My ideal would be they drop Michael Phelps in an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and then they drop the shark in the Olympic-sized swimming pool, and then on the other side, and they're starting out in the same place.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the pool, where the shark needs to go for the race, like they drop a bucket of like chum.
Okay.
And then when the bucket hits the water, that's when the race starts.
Okay.
And so the shark just needs to get to the end of the pool before Michael Phelps to win.
How does Michael Phelps keep from not being killed in this?
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a TV stunt, then there's some risks involved, right?
True, yeah.
I feel like you just have to take those risks, you know?
Okay,
that's
so
I would have done it.
That's
he can
how
wear,
everybody
like,
would have done it.
He can wear one of those armor things.
Yeah, he'll just swim with
or
armor.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't know what you mean.
They have like those like they're not armor. I mean, they are armor, but they have those chainmail things that they wear. The shark divers wear.
Great white sharks are like big.
That's true. That's true. They probably would, like, crush you with their mouth. Okay, new plan. So, Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Okay.
My first plan was a little on the nose. It was a little ridiculous. I realized that the shark could have eaten Michael Phelps.
Okay.
So, what they do instead, Olympic-sized swimming pool, they bisect it with, like, a very large but very sturdy pane of bulletproof glass.
Okay.
Okay? So then you do the exact same thing. So now Michael Phelps and the shark are completely separated.
Yeah.
The glass
is
like...
Phelps is safe.
Yeah, Phelps is safe. The glass is really thick. The shark cannot break through that. If he does, somehow you have like snipers that have like trank guns and stuff like ready to take the shark out.
What was that James Bond movie? I think it was Moonraker, where they were underwater with the sniper rifles.
Yes, you have those people. They're in the pool, even better. Yes. They're in the pool.
Yes.
And then there's like there's one in like the lifeguard stand. He's like ready to.
Yeah.
And so they do the same thing. They drop the bucket of chum into the water. Oh, and the shark is like chained up to the side of the pool so it can't like swim yet.
Okay.
And as they drop the chum in the water, like once the chum hits the water, there's like an electrode that like sends a signal that unlocks the shark from the wall.
Okay.
And then the race begins. And then Michael Phelps has to race to the end, shark has to race to the end, and then whoever wins, wins. And that's how I would do it.
And it would be super exciting and cool, and everyone would love it.
Yeah, and you'd have cameras everywhere, and you're, like, seeing the sharks and stuff. Like, granted, it would only last like, 30 seconds, but, like, you can make the first 55 minutes of the show, like, preparing for the race. Like,
you could have, like, Ben Stiller there on camera, and he'd be like, whoa, this is so cool. You have to have, like, a token celebrity.
Yeah, you got Brendan Fraser, maybe. Like, he's there. He's not doing anything right now. Like, he's watching it.
Woody Harrelson is there.
Woody Harrelson's there. What other celebrities that aren't doing a lot right now?
Maybe Katy Perry. She's
Katy Perry's there. She's there. Yep.
Anyway, this isn't what happened.
Katy Perry. All right, go ahead.
What really happened is they threw a fish behind a boat and they tugged it through great white waters.
Okay.
And then they clocked how fast a great white was, which was about 25 miles per hour.
Okay.
And then they clocked Michael Phelps, and he was about 5 miles per hour.
Okay.
So they gave Michael Phelps a special fin that looks like a shark fin.
Uh-huh.
And then they put him in the ocean.
In an Olympic pool with the gray white.
They put him in the ocean. Uh-huh. And they had him swim 100 meters.
With a shark next to him.
No. So the way they shot it is they put a CGI shark next to him swimming.
Oh, my God.
So while he was going through the water, they put a CGI shark next to him,
and he like, raced it's like, it. It's like, it's like a ghost Data in, like, Mario Kart.
Yes, that's right? How they did it, yeah.
It's like the ghost Data, like you're racing the staff ghost or whatever.
Yes. Michael Phelps lost by 2 seconds versus the CGI shark.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's, like, so dumb. They didn't even, like, think this through. We created a better scenario in, like, 2 minutes.
Ours had Katy Perry.
I know! It had Katy Perry, and it had, like, snipers.
Yes.
And all the snipers would be, like, Australian, and they'd look like that guy, like, Muldoon from Jurassic Park.
Yes.
You know, they had all those hats on, you know? People would watch that. Great Whites, Michael Phelps, Katy Perry, Muldoon from Jurassic Park. Like, this is the perfect, this is perfect television. Right?
Yeah, I guess maybe they just they need to hire us as consultants for their next one.
Maybe they didn't have enough money to do all the things we were talking about.
Well, they hired like boats and scientists and cameras and.
Here's the thing: Ours isn't that expensive, and you don't even need scientists for ours.
No, you just need Katy Perry.
You just need a guy that could like wrangle a great white shark and put him in a pool, and you need Katy Perry. And that's it. That's all you need. And you need Michael Phelps, obviously. I just feel like ours is a little complicated in the way that, like, you transport the shark. But, like, everything else is super simple.
Are there any are great white sharks in captivity?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe they're, like, impossible to catch or something.
Maybe that's why they didn't do it. Because they were like, oh, we could do, like, the pool scenario, but, like, we don't want to catch
a great white shark. How do we get the shark in there? Yeah.
I'm sure someone at some point has caught a great white shark and like had it.
Okay. Here's the thing though. Like before he raced the great white shark, they had him race like a hammerhead shark and a bull shark in kind of the same way.
Okay, some of those are in captivity. I know for a fact hammerheads aren't.
There's definitely bull sharks in captivity.
Makos are in captivity too, and they're the fastest shark in the world.
Yeah, they're really scary.
Anyway, so he raced those. Did he race him in a pool?
No, they didn't even have CGI for those sharks.
This is the stupidest show. Like, if they're going to put all this effort into this big high concept thing, they need to at least follow through on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That bothers me. So, it sounds like Shark Week was a bust this year.
Yeah, they blew it. I don't know if the rest of Shark Week was bad, but that was disappointing.
I think Shark Week has been going downhill for a while.
Getting a little bit too... Are they selling out?
They're getting a little long in the tooth.
Oh, nice.
If you will. Yes. No, I just feel like they're not as good. Like, 10 years ago was, like, the last time I was really excited about Shark Week. When, like, the Mythbusters were doing stuff, and they had, like, all these celebrities, and they had, like, all these sweet shark attack videos, and they had, like, air jaws and all that stuff. And I feel like... Now, they just have, like, stupid gimmicks every year. It's like, Michael Phelps is racing a shark. And then next year, they're going to do, like, I don't know. Can this man fit in a shark's stomach? You'll see this year on Shark Week or something. I don't know.
Yeah, another thing about the Phelps versus shark thing, like, it could have been cool if they had a ton of science in it, but... Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there was only, like, actually 15 minutes of unique... footage shot for it, and they kind of just padded it out by repeating themselves for the rest of the time.
Yeah, they always do that in those stupid, like, reality... Not reality TV, but those, like, reality science shows.
But it was the same thing, though. They really padded it.
Repeated over and over again. Yeah. Like, thanks for staying through the commercial break. We're doing Michael Phelps versus the shark, and we'll go over everything we just said again.
Yeah.
In case you're just joining us.
Bunch of that, yeah.
That sucks. I'm glad I didn't watch Shark Week.
It was kind of funny. Me and some of my family members got together and we made like a big thing out of it and we're all making fun of it at the same time. So that was fun.
I would have liked to do that. Had I known it was going on, I could have had like a Michael Phelps versus the shark party.
I mean, we did. That was
that's what I'm saying. Like, I would have liked that.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been... It would have been like a boxing. Like, you know, people have people over for boxing. Like, I would have done that for Michael Phelps.
Similar, yeah.
Like, get some chips and dip, you know.
Make some chili. We made chili. I mean...
Make some chili. You know, get some mixed drinks or something. And then, boom. Michael Phelps for the shark. It would have been sad because it would have been so disappointing, though. But whatever.
Yeah.
So next on the talking points, I just revealed we have talking points of this show. Oh no. There's something coming up in August that you want to do. What is it?
August 21st, there's a total solar eclipse of the sun.
Of the sun. Total eclipse of my heart. Sorry. Yes. That's a song. Of the sun. What's the difference between a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse?
A lunar eclipse is when you can't see the moon. And a solar eclipse is when you can't see the sun.
So a solar eclipse is the one where the moon is in front of the sun.
Correct, yeah.
And so it blocks out part of the sun.
Yeah, there's like a halo around the moon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The solar eclipse is the cooler looking one.
The cooler one. The big black
dot. It's the one that only happens once while you're alive, pretty much.
So is this the only time we're going to be able to see a solar eclipse in our lifetime?
A total one? Yeah. Probably.
Probably. Earlier, when you brought this up before the show started, I was like, I won't see it, I guess, whatever. But now I'm like, you know, kind of want to.
Yeah, so I looked at the map. They have a map online where you can see, like, where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, you could stay where you are and get 0.8 magnitude, which isn't that bad, I guess.
Is this a scale of 1?
Out of 1, you could get 0.8.
Okay, so I could see 80% of the solar eclipse.
Yeah, and I could see a similar amount.
Hmm.
If we wanted to drive somewhere, though, it's going across, like the middle of the United States.
Hmm.
Like, it starts out in Oregon and is exiting in South Carolina, so it's making, like, that kind of arc.
Okay. So we need to go to South Carolina is what you're telling me.
I mean, yes.
So road trip, me and you to South Carolina. Okay. And they will find some... Do you think they'll have like a party or something?
There will be some... Right. We could find some hippies, I bet.
Yes. We could find some hippie party. South Carolina, total solar eclipse. That sounds fun.
That does sound fun.
I've never been to a hippie party before.
I've been to music festivals, but not like a legit...
I haven't been to a legit hippie party
before. Yeah. Not like the forest is my...
Right, is my brother or whatever.
Yes. I've never seen that.
Me neither. I've always wanted to.
It sounds great, though.
It does sound fantastic. It's just that I feel like we're a little too, you know, our generation doesn't really align with the hippie generation as much.
Yeah.
And, like, there are hippies in our generation, but they're not, you know, there's not as many. So I've always wanted to do a hippie thing. And I feel like solar eclipse, that's, like, peak hippie thing,
yeah, right? That's, I mean, that's better than a solstice.
That's, like, the hippiest thing ever.
You can do, yeah.
Right? Okay, so look, we're going to look for hippie party, South Carolina, and we'll go there.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Hippies don't plan things, right?
They just
do
go
it.
Where the wind takes them.
So we're going to drive up, and we'll just find some gathering, like, in a farm or something.
Yeah, I mean, think about something. It. Like, think about it this way. Like, the solar eclipse, like, the it's going to pass over one spot in South Carolina. So there has to be people
there's just going
to
be a gathering there. It's kind of like the, like, alien watcher people or whatever. Like, they don't organize, like, oh, we're all meeting up here. They just all go there because that's where to see UFOs.
That's where it is. Like, yeah.
You know, that's where it is. Mm-hmm. So it's like we just find that one spot and then we just go there. And then
and
all the hippies
there
will
be
are. There. They're there.
They know.
They know that's where it is. This sounds like a good plan. I like this. I like this a lot. August 24th. I'll mark my calendar. Anyway, I've never seen a solar eclipse.
Neither have I.
And I want to. I don't know. All right. You want to get into some Reddit?
I am ready for some questions.
Tired today. Do you have any other stuff we want to share before we got into Reddit questions? Or
I don't think so. Did you have anything?
No, not excuse really. Me. Bless you. No, I don't think I had anything. You want to just dive in then?
Let's dive in.
Okay, I'll start with a silly one. What's the most difficult thing to do one-handed?
Ooh.
What?
Nothing.
What? You have to say what
I
you just
actually
thought.
Can't, because my yes, brain you, is not good.
Yes, you do. You have to say it. Please say it. What is it?
But you, I mean, it's...
All right, don't say it. Fine.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what it is.
Yeah,
you like,
can.
The thing I'm thinking of that's like, ooh, it's like, you could totally do one-handed.
I know, but that's still where my brain went. Like, even though you can do it, like, that's what my brain was like, oh, yeah.
Do people do that with two hands or something?
Maybe if you're like a...
All right.
Just we should... I don't.
Maybe if you're a special person.
If you're...
if you need that two hands, then you
if
do.
If you need to, then you should contact us at contact@timebacktown.com.
Please don't contact us about that. Please don't contact us about that. I don't want
to
hear
it. We'd love
it.
To hear from you.
We would not love to hear about that. Okay. We'd love to hear from you about anything else. So what is the most difficult thing to do to one-handed?
Maybe cooking is pretty hard.
Cooking would be hard. Tying shoes would be very difficult.
I couldn't tie my shoes, yeah.
What about, like, putting on clothes?
Yeah. Clothes, too. A lot of stuff would be.
It's not asking about a lot of stuff. It's asking for the most...
The most difficult?
Difficult thing.
Driving stick shift would be horrible.
That would be very frightening.
Yeah. I could do it. I could do it.
You really think you could?
No, I know I could, because I eat and drive sometimes.
So how would you shift? You'd have to take
your hand
the wheel.
Off the wheel. And very quickly shift.
I would hope that your one hand you have is your right hand, because this would be very difficult with only your left hand.
Yeah, if you were doing it with your left hand, you'd have to reach over your body and do
You'd have to cross over.
You could still do it. You have time before it.
Do you, though?
No, you do, because I've driven stick my whole life, and I've had to do that a lot. And you don't have much time, but...
You have some time.
There's time.
You don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, but you can do it. You just probably shouldn't.
So if there's any, like, if there's, like, a movie where a guy got his hand chopped off and he's, like, driving stick, like, you would believe, like, he was able to do it, you'd be like, yep, I could see you being able to pull that.
Yeah, because my car even, like, veers to the right a little bit because my alignment's off, and I can still do it.
Have you tried this before?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. You're, like, the only person in the world that drives stick shift still. You know that, right?
Well, it's just what I prefer to do.
Do you even, like, have you driven automatic before?
Yeah. Whenever I'm in an automatic, I have the muscle memory built up so far that I'll start going, and then I'll just reach for the shifter, and I'll panic. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to stall a car. Like,
I'm going to die. The shifter's gone.
It's like, what's happening?
Have you ever owned an automatic car?
No.
Have you? How many cars have you owned?
Two, three.
And they've all been stick shift?
Yeah. My dad likes to drive stick shift, and my first car was his old car.
So sure. I had to learn
stick shift.
Yeah. So let me ask you, how old's your car right now? The car you have?
Currently, about 10 years.
Okay, so let's say you're going to get a new car in, I don't know, whenever that is. 3 years, 5 years, who knows?
Yeah.
When you bought a new car, would you get a stick shift or would you get it automatic?
I'd get a stick shift.
You really would. You would get a stick shift.
Yeah, I'm committed at this point.
But, like, even though it's more inconvenient than driving
I don't really look at it as inconvenience. It's just driving.
Do you enjoy it or something? Do you, like driving stick? Like, it's like, this is more fun or something.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Like, in traffic, it's not more fun.
Well, then why not just get an automatic?
Because I'm going with this. I like it.
You like being different.
No, that's not it. It's just, it
sounds like.
This is how I do it, and...
It's just, it is. Okay, I'm not judging, I'm just... This is how you are. This is how you want your car.
And I kind of like that no one can drive my car.
That is kind of... I thought of that once, because, like...
Because no one knows how to drive stick shift.
Right, like, nobody does.
No one.
I don't know anyone that could drive stick shift, except my dad and you. Like, that's it. But... Yeah, it's interesting because, like, if you're talking about, like, cars people are going to steal, I feel like a robber would, like, look in and be like, oh, it's a shit. I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I can't drive stick. I'm going to go to a different car.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was a really nice car, they'd be like, I don't know how to do that. They'd, like, pass on, like, a new Porsche or something. Like, not doing stick. Yeah, so, I mean, there's that, I guess. I guess that's an advantage and a disadvantage.
I like to do stuff with my hands all the time. Like, if my hands are idle, I feel uncomfortable. So driving a stick kind of feels good in that way, too.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It keeps my mind occupied.
Okay, I'm not making fun of it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, you had some zany questions for us on this episode.
All right. What if a Japan prince marries a British princess?
What? What is that supposed to mean?
What happens?
Okay, Japanese prince, British princess. They get married. Ooh, I don't know. What happens when, like, a French prince marries a British princess? Like a European.
I've played this game called Crusader Kings 2.
Mm-hmm.
And
what happens then?
I think it depends on which prince and which princess.
Okay.
Like, if it's not a very good princess, then or not a very good prince, then it's okay.
How do they rank the princes and princesses?
Well, though? Like, some princesses are from, like, poor or not very good places.
Okay.
And some princesses are from, like, really good... If it's, like, not a very good princess, no one's going to care. Because it's like, at least she married a prince. It might be a Japanese prince or whatever, but...
Or an English prince.
Or an English or French or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
I feel like those are two really prestigious prince and princesses, though.
What, Japanese and British?
Like British is...
Yeah, no, I agree.
Britain is big, Japan is big.
No, I agree, that's too prestigious. That's like two really big... cultures coming together right there.
Japan doesn't have princes, but in this question, they do.
I was about to ask, does it have princes? In this hypothetical situation, it does.
Yeah, think like Princess Diana. If Japan had a prince, imagine she married him. That would be the biggest thing ever.
That would be. So where would they live? Would they live in Britain or Japan? They'd probably live both, right? They would like.
That's a really good question.
Live for half the year in one and half the year for the other at the other.
Right? Yeah.
I think what would happen, and I'm not big into monarchy history of kings and queens, mm-hmm. but I think what would happen is they'd basically become the king and queen of, or the prince and princess of both countries at the same time.
Okay.
The Prince of Japan is now the Prince of Japan and Britain, and the Princess of Britain is now the Princess of Britain and Japan.
You know and what I mean? When like the king and queen
die
and
they become
Japan,
of both places. They're now the king and queen. They're not. I mean, the king and queen have to die in both places, right? And then they become the king and queen of both.
Yeah,
I think that's happened in history before. I think it's only really happened in Europe, in like you know nations that are close together. But I think it's happened.
It has.
I think that's what would happen. That's my that's my answer to the question.
Okay, so their kids.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Their kids are the prince and princesses
of both.
Of both, I guess. I don't know. Is that how that works?
And then their kids marry someone.
The monarchy thing always confused the shit out of me.
Yeah.
How they determine, like, lineage and, like, you know, who's worthy of the throne and, what's the word? Like, heir apparent and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all really confusing, in my opinion. But I'm not British, so maybe it's, like, maybe it's just really obvious for British people. They're like, yeah, that's how it works, duh, you know?
You should play Crusader Kings 2. It's a really good game.
Okay, well...
Yeah, so let's say that you're a prince in an area, and all the princesses around the area die. What do? You marry your sister.
Is that true?
That's in Crusader Kings 2. That's the solution.
That's not ideal, I don't think. But all right.
I mean, you don't want your bloodline to die, though.
I don't know if this game is actually, like, real. Like, that's how they do it. Like, yeah, just marry your sister. It's fine. NBD, guys. Just marry your sister. Don't worry about it. What is something that has apparently happened to everyone except you? Boom.
Everyone except for me.
Yeah. What big life experience have you not had that everyone else has had, apparently?
Happiness.
Don't say that.
I stole that from Reddit. That was
good. Know you did. Yeah. That is a funny answer, though.
That's the funniest answer.
I don't know. I think I've had most life experiences. I've never been to a really, really big party before.
How big?
Like, really big.
Like, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50?
No. Like, I've never been to, like, a party with over 100 people before.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
Oh, no, you know I have in high school, in college. Never mind. Okay, just kidding.
I don't think I've been to... I have not been to a party with over 100 people. That's a lot of people.
Well, in college, they had, like, those dumb, like... You know, fraternity party things that you could just, like, show up to for 5 minutes and leave. And that's what I did. But I was technically there.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just trying to think of things that, you know, kids and, like, young adults do in movies. That's where I'm drawing all this from, right? What have I not done that they do in those things? Right?
A lot of kids these days have not been to an arcade. I mean, think about
that.
That's
true. Yeah. That's true. But you have, and so
have
I. Yeah,
of course. We both used to go.
This is about us. What have we not done that a lot of people have done? Dun, 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 dun.
I've never... I don't know.
I'm excited.
What about you? You
have to
have one.
I don't have anyone. That's it. Have you ever been to... I'm going to read some of these. Have you ever been to a wedding before?
Yeah, I went to your wedding.
Damn it! have you ever... Oh, that's dirty. You're not going to ask that one. Have you ever been admitted to the hospital?
Yeah, I've been to the hospital.
Damn it.
It broke my arm.
Okay, the next one, I've never broken anything, so that obviously clears that one up.
Okay.
Well, that one's just depressing. All right, I'm not reading any more of these. These are really sad. Yeah, the next one was... Oh, go ahead.
I feel like a lot of the things that we either have or haven't done are either going to be, like, really... They're all going to be really bad. Like...
Yeah, they're going to be really bad. The next one I read was being in a long-term, committed, happy relationship.
Yikes.
Oh, that's sad. All right, next question. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Okay. All right, here's time for the one I was laughing at a lot.
All right.
Before the show. Okay. People have read it. Who have lost a loved one because of a funny / ironic death. What? How did you deal with this?
What? What kind of a question is that? What the hell? What does that even mean?
Have you ever known anyone who died ironically?
No. I haven't known anyone like that. It's horrible.
Okay, we can skip it. I just wanted to...
No, read. It's fine.
It's really funny.
This reminds me of that... Oh, man. I feel like we talked about death once, and, you were talking to a coworker, and you were like, they're like, need help with something? And you're like, no. And then they're like, my brother died or something like that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. But that was an ironic or funny way to die. Okay, so, what if you had, an uncle... Or something, and they died in a YouTubeable kind of way, if you will. Like they're skiing, and
no, it has to be sillier.
They're doing backyard wrestling or something.
What about you know those Segways that don't have the handles? They're just the foot paddles.
Yes, yes. They're on one of those.
So, Grandpa.
This is awful.
He's standing on one of those, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he takes off down the hallway into the electrical closet and crashes into a transformer.
Yes! See, the problem with this question is none of these things are funny once you realize the person died. You know? Yeah. It's funny for a second, and then it's like, oh, they died. That's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know how you deal with that.
How do you have an ironic death? How do you ironically? That's what I'm meant to
think,
do.
Okay, let's think of a funny death that's still funny after you die.
Yeah.
Okay, because Grandpa on the Segway, that's funny. But the moment he dies, not funny anymore.
Not funny anymore, yeah.
And then same with, the guy that, jumps off his roof, into the swimming pool or something.
Yeah.
It's this is so funny. And then he, kills himself. It's that's not funny anymore. Yeah, what's a legitimately... Go ahead.
Wait, to be an ironic death, you kind of need to, go into it knowing what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah. So what's, a funny / ironic death that actually is funny, knowing the person died?
How about... Okay, I don't know why this memory just popped into
brain. Go ahead, I want to hear it.
So, 10 or 15 years ago or whatever, you asked me this question.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You were like, okay, what would happen if someone just kept eating? And you were like, and I was like, what are you talking about? And then you explained to me, you know how you get full and you can stop eating? Well, you don't technically need to stop eating. You can choose to keep eating. Do you remember this?
Did I really ask you this question?
Did.
You seem to have a very vivid memory of me asking.
I don't know why I just thought about this.
What was the context of me asking you this
question? I'm pretty sure it was 100% random.
So we were hanging out. Probably it was probably 12:30 at night at your house or something. And we needed something to do. And I was like, here's a question for you now.
Riddle me this.
So that's the funny death.
You just keep eating.
Isn't that what happened to the guy in Seven?
Yes.
Yeah, that it was a little funny, I guess.
I think it was more the camera work that made that dark.
They David Finchered that scene up a little.
Yeah, that could have been funny.
That could have been funny. He's in like a clown costume.
Yeah.
And he's eating like cream pies or something.
Yeah.
Like something funny, right? He's eating bananas. And he gets so full that he like dies.
and he's like, I'm getting really full, guys.
And then, oh my God, why am I doing this? This is becoming like an Adam Sandler movie. The end, he's like, oh, and he's like really full. And then he like farts really loudly, and then he dies.
And then he dies.
And then he just falls into like his soup or whatever he's eating. And that's it.
And that's the punchline. He
that's
died.
Super depressing and also kind of funny, though. Yes. But like it has to be the most ridiculous death. He's watching a TV show and it's like people getting like hit in the crotch or something too, or yeah. Something really dumb. Mm-hmm. Like
Ow My Balls is on.
Yeah, TV. He's watching that or something like mm-hmm. that. And he's laughing hysterically with food in his mouth. Right. And he just keeps eating. And he keeps eating. And he keeps eating. And then he dies.
Okay, all right. I know how to make this better.
Awful.
You know those...
How do we make it better? There's no better.
There is.
Okay.
Do you know those TV shows like America's Got Talent?
Yes.
So he goes on stage and he tells everybody that his talent...
That's his talent.
Is that he can eat... Like 500
forever.
500 bananas.
Oh no.
And there's like a lot of anticipation and everybody's cheering for him and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna make it. I'm totally gonna eat 500 bananas.
I feel like it go ahead.
And then he just dies.
I feel like at some point in the proceedings they would realize like this is too many bananas. This guy is going to die if he eats any more bananas. And they'd be like, alright, let's get him off the stage.
There's people that eat like 90 hot dogs.
No, you're right. I guess they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wondered about those talent shows. Do they, like, screen the people before they do it? Because there's people that are, like, throwing swords and stuff. And, like, they could literally die on stage.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, this is the same kind of thing. Like, the eater guy, he's like, I can eat 500 bananas. And, like, that sounds impossible. It's like, I can do it. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a sword. They'd let him do it.
They would let him.
Yeah.
Here's the really uncomfortable part about that, right? After he gets to be like, I don't know, let's say 200 bananas, he starts slowing down like really hardcore, right?
He doesn't have to, though. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, you can choose to keep.
Maybe he does. Maybe he's like, I'm getting full. In order to keep eating, I just need to slow down.
Yeah.
And he like just sits down on the floor, like kind of cross-legged. It's mm-hmm. a really big guy. He's really fat.
Yeah.
Okay. And he just slowly starts like shoving bananas into his mouth. Like
I think people would cheer.
Really slow. But okay, here's the thing. He's got like 300 bananas to go. Right? Like people have to watch him slowly eat 300 more bananas. Like what does the show do at that point? Like if I was a producer, I'd be like, well, on one hand, this guy's going to eat 300 bananas and he might die and we need to watch that on TV. On the other hand, it's going to take like 3 hours to get all these bananas done. Like, what do we do, you know?
Yeah, I think you only get, like, a 5-minute slot, so... I don't know. You just have to go really fast.
I feel like... No, see, I feel like if I was a producer, I'd be like, let him eat the bananas. Let him eat. Let him do it. And then if, like, the audience starts turning on him, then, like, all right, get off the stage. Yeah, but if they're, like, invested, like, let him go.
If you're the producer, you can just be like, you know what? We'll edit it together and make it look like he did it faster.
But, like, in real time, it's taken, like, 3 hours. And the audience is, like, right there with him the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like either the audience would be, like, really into it, or they would be, like, after, like, 10 minutes, they'd be like, this is really boring.
Yeah, but like, this is horrible.
It's really hard to say, like, what would the response of the audience be? This is a very interesting philosophical question, I think. Would they be like, I'm invested in this man eating 500 bananas...
Because I see him
he could
do it.
Die.
Yeah.
But, or they could be like, oh, this is really boring. I legitimately don't know.
I think 10 minutes is a lot of banana eating to watch.
So you think people would get bored?
Yeah, after 10 minutes, I think they're turning on.
Even though there's a chance that this guy could die eating bananas, and like,
I mean, I don't think people want to see that. Like, people might want to see him succeed, but they don't want to see him. They don't want to see him die.
They don't want to see him die, but they want to watch to see if he dies. Like, people will watch things if people are gonna like could die because they want to know what happens.
That's true, I guess.
Like, I feel like there's some people that would be like really into this banana eating guy, like really into it.
I think you're right.
This is a really real, really weird segue that we just went down.
I think we answered the question successfully.
I think we did too. Let's go to another one of your questions. I know you had another one, I think.
It's not any better than the one we just answered. Good, do you want to like, bring us up a little before
Let's go right into it.
All right. Is there asbestos in my car?
I don't think asbestos can be in cars, can it?
I think the answer is probably not.
Can asbestos be in cars?
Unless you're a construction worker from, like, a long time ago.
1950s, yeah. Then you're probably safe. You're probably right. Do you want to get into trivia?
Sure. I have some exciting Shark Week-themed trivia for you this week.
Do your trivia jingle, please.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Here we go. Trivia time.
Good time, Aces and Pats. Episode 44.
You can choose between 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, 40-second Ask, Monty Hall 50-50. And ask a friend.
I am going to do ask.com 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do Monty Hall. And then I'm going to do... I noticed how you didn't include Rhyme Time.
Rhyme Time. No. Are you going to pick that because I didn't include it?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't have a friend to ask, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
That sounded really depressing. I don't have any friends I can ask, but I'm going to try.
Try to figure it out.
I'll phone a friend. I'll, like, text someone and see if they respond in time.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right, your first question. Adults have 206 bones in their bodies.
Okay.
Newborn babies have approximately blank bones in their bodies.
I thought this was shark trivia.
The rest are sharks.
Oh, okay. Baby, shark.
No, this is like adult the man. And baby human.
shark.
Yes.
Okay, so 260-something bones?
206 for an adult. How many bones do babies have?
Okay.
A, 100. B, 200. C, 300. D, 400. You know what I mean.
400.
Yes.
This is hard.
100, 200, 300, or 400.
And adults have 206, you said, right?
Yes.
Okay, so... I don't know if babies have more bones than adults. That seems weird. Because then it would, like, fall out, you know?
They
like,
shed a few.
Where do the bones go, right? Like, that doesn't really make any sense.
I'm not allowed to tell you.
But at the same time, are teeth considered bones? I don't know. Because babies definitely don't have all their teeth yet. I guess they're in there somewhere, though. I don't know how
that works. I don't know how it works. They're in there somewhere.
That's a weird way to put it.
Yeah.
Are the teeth in there?
I don't know.
Are the teeth in there? If you know the answer to this question, please contact us at timevetshow.com. Contact at timevetshow.com. Okay, I'm going to go with 200, and the reason behind that is because I feel like 200 is, like, close to 206, and I could see people growing 6 bones in the course of their life.
Okay,
so,
that makes sense.
Yeah. B, 200, final answer.
B, 200 is wrong.
What?
Newborn babies have approximately 300 bones in their bodies.
What? Seriously?
I think they fuse together into bigger bones.
Oh, they fuse. Fuse. See, I was assuming they just lost them somehow.
They shed them out.
They like cough them up or something. It's like another bone. Like that's something that parents just don't talk about.
Yeah.
Like it happens to every baby, but you just don't hear parents talk about it because it's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like once you become a parent, you'll know about the baby coughing up their bones situation.
It freaked me out with my first...
Yeah, when my son started coughing up bones, I was really concerned, and then I realized it happens in every baby. That would be weird. I bet there's like some weird baby thing that you and I don't know about that is really freaky, but
that there has to be.
Like, yeah, I bet that's... I don't know if it's to the extent of coughing bones up, but it's out there.
It might be.
Coughing bones?
I mean, like, they don't... I don't think babies cough bones, but there might be something equally as weird.
Equally as weird, yeah. All right.
I'm ready for that. Your next trivia question is... The blue shark can give birth to up to blank pups in one litter.
Okay.
Is it A, 5, B, 35, C, 105,
good lord,
or D, 135?
Good lord, that's a lot of fucking shark babies.
Yes.
So 5, 35, 100, and 135?
5, 35, 105, okay. 135.
I'm going to ask.com this one. Okay. I think this is the perfect ask.com question. By the way, our show is sponsored by ask.com.
Visit ask.com to get Time Bats How memorabilia.
Ask.com/Time Bats How. No, it's not really sponsored by ask.com, but I kind of feel like maybe we should get a sponsorship. Okay, I'm ready whenever you are. Blue shark litter, right?
How many babies? How many can they give birth to?
Got it.
All right, 40 seconds. Get ready, get set, go.
Blue shark, how many in a litter? Oh my god, ask is taking a long time. Blue shark, whoa, that's a lot of pups. 135, final answer.
135 is correct.
I have to give you, like, ask.com is really nailing it.
Yeah, it's nailed all three that you've used it.
This is how good it is. Typed it in, blue sharks, how many litter. First result, Wikipedia, which makes sense. But here's the best part. The blurb that they selected, you know how they always have, like, a blurb under the search result, has the first sentence of the Wikipedia, and then the second sentence is, like, further down. And it's literally delivering 4 to 135 pups per litter. Nice. Like, it says that right there. So it's like, called out exactly what I wanted. It was exactly what I needed. Ask.com, great website.
Ask.com/TimeBatsHow.
TimeBatsHow. Go there and fulfill your searching needs. What's a Google? Who knows? It's old news. Ask.com is the future of web search.
I agree.
Next question.
It's another shark question. Sharks have blank bones in their bodies.
Okay. A lot of how many things are in this thing?
All quantities in today's trivia. Is it A, 0, B, 50, C, 100, or D, 150?
The 0 is really tempting, I have to say. Because I know sharks have a lot of cartilage in their bodies. But I don't know if it's all cartilage, you know, like...
They might have a bone in there.
They might have a couple bones in there somewhere. I don't know. So it's 0 and then 50.
And then 100. And then 150.
Like, they could have 50 bones in there. I could see that. But I don't know. It could be 0. I'm going to do a money haul.
Okay.
I'm going to lock in 150.
Okay. I'm eliminating 100.
Okay.
So it's either 50 or 0 bones in a shark.
Okay. I'm going to go with 0. Final answer, 0.
0 is correct.
Yes, I did it. Oh, that was a tricky question. So they really don't have any bones. It is all cartilage.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what the internet said. What do you mean?
I could believe that. I remember Steve Irwin telling me a long time ago that sharks are all cartilage.
Aren't sharks vertebrates? Vertebrates?
Vertebrates? Vertebrates?
Isn't a backbone a... Like, I don't know about this question. But...
Isn't a backbone a bone? Maybe their backbone is made out of cartilage.
No, maybe.
What is cartilage?
It's... All right, you know you're eating chicken and the part that you don't want to swallow?
Yes, I know what cartilage is when I'm eating chicken. I want to know what cartilage is, period.
It is... I only know with regards to when you're eating chicken.
So your whole... Like, all I know about cartilage, I know three things, okay? I know that my ear has it. I know it's that weird thing that's kind of a bone, but kind of not when I'm eating chicken. And I know that sharks have a lot of cartilage. And that's all the facts I know about cartilage. It's kind of like a bone, but not a bone.
Maybe it's like the difference between a planet and a dwarf planet. Maybe it's just like scientists being scientists. I don't think that's true. But
there's an arbitrary distinction. It's like, oh, it's not dense enough to be a bone, so it's cartilage or something.
Yeah, maybe.
It's kind of like a bone you can kind of... It's like a rubbery
twist.
It's like a twisty bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bone weird. You can pierce through with and put jewelry in.
Wait, what?
Your ears. You can pierce your ears.
But I don't think you're piercing the cartilage part, are you?
Yeah, people have earrings all in their ears. I've seen them.
Sure, but isn't that all through the skin, or is that part of cartilage?
No, it goes through the ear. Oh, I've seen them.
Well, I know what you're talking about, but I didn't know that was like that part of your ear was cartilage. Yeah.
So you can pierce. You can give a shark an earring anywhere, is what I'm getting at. That's the takeaway.
Can you just repeat that sentence?
You can give a shark an earring anywhere.
That is the most ridiculous sentence you've ever said on this show. Would it really be an earring anymore?
You can give him
you can give him a piercing.
Yeah.
Anywhere. I want to see that happen.
That would be animal cruelty. I don't
also want to see that. No, it wouldn't hurt as the shark because
that's true.
It's just cartilage.
Yeah.
Right? It's just cartilage. We do it to our ears. It doesn't hurt us.
It hurts a little bit.
We could just put piercings wherever we want on a shark, bling them out with piercings all over the place.
Everywhere.
He's just covered in piercings, head to toe. And it's not like inhumane. Like, piercing another animal would be inhumane because, like, you know, that hurts. Because, like, if you pierce your, like, I don't know, something that isn't your ear, like your tongue,
like your lip, arm,
or your eyebrow, or your arm. I don't know why you'd pierce your arm. But that all, like, hurts, because that's skin, and that's sharp. Like, that's a sharp pain. But ears, it's just cartilage, so it's not negatively affecting you at all. So the same principle with shark. You could just pierce them all over the place, and they'll be fine. That would be a very frightening shark, I feel like. Like, diamond earrings everywhere and stuff, right?
You'd be like gang boss shark.
Yeah. Got like gold studs in his fins and stuff.
In his self, on his tail.
In his fin, on his tail, yeah, exactly. Okay, do we have any more trivia for this day that we want to end the show with?
That was all like that? Three trivia questions.
I have some more really bad ones. If we want to do bad ones. Oh, you asked me before the show started, because we were talking about Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, did you used to use Reddit? And I was like, yeah, a long time ago. I used to post on Reddit all the time. And then you were like, oh, did you ever get any top comments? And so I looked to see what my top comment was. And yes, I got a comment with 2,608 points, which is like karma or whatever the
heck. Congratulations.
And I'm going to read for you what the comment is with absolutely no comment. My 2,608 point comment on Reddit was, "You can milk anything with nipples."
I'm very proud of that.
I don't know why. I don't know the context of this statement at all. But because it just shows me, like, literally the comment.
You were probably talking about a movie trailer or something.
I don't know what I was talking about. But there you go. That's my top Reddit comment forever. So, 2,000 points for that.
What you've learned on today's episode of the Time Bat Show is that you can pierce a shark anywhere, and you can milk anything with nipples.
And whenever you need to go to a website to search for something, use ask.com for all your search needs.
Yes.
The Time Bat Show, episode 44, sponsored by ask.com and sharkpiercing.com / the Time Bat Show. One more Reddit question, and we'll be done.
Okay.
What proverb or saying has never made sense to you? There's a lot of weird proverbs.
There's a lot that don't really work.
So, like, you're the apple of my eye.
That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah.
Makes zero sense. My favorite nonsensical one is probably the proof is in the pudding. People say that now, and I'm like, what pudding are we talking about here? Right?
How about, you're not seeing the forest for the trees?
That one doesn't make any sense either. Like, I feel like most proverbs don't make sense. The forest for the trees, I feel like I can try to justify that, but I'll like talk roundabouts and it won't make any sense. The forest for the trees. Apple of my eye. It's raining cats and dogs. I don't know. Those are mine. Take that with a grain of salt. That doesn't make any sense either.
It doesn't make any sense. I was going to say that's appropriate. That's an appropriate thing to say. Like, take these sayings with a grain of salt.
But why are you having a grain of salt with your sayings? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, everything tastes better with a little bit of salt.
That's true, actually. That's proven scientifically. I'm looking for more shit-eating grin.
That's nasty.
Oh, at work recently, have you ever heard the phrase, it's close enough for jazz?
No, I've never heard that.
Okay, apparently I'm the only one in the world that has heard that before, because someone was talking to me at work recently, and then I was like, oh, it's close enough for jazz. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's an idiom, it's a phrase. And they're like, I don't think it is. I'm like, yes, it is. I swear it is. I looked it up on the internet, and yeah, it apparently is, but it's not like on a lot of the internet. It's only on like weird parts of the internet, if you will. Like, the only references I could find to it are like Yahoo Answers questions, and like it was the name of a song at one point. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
It's an idiom, but like
it never made it to the internet.
It's not super official as an idiom. So that's my one. But that one does make sense.
Easy enough for jazz. I'm going to start saying that, and pretty soon everyone will
say it. Close enough for jazz.
I think everybody that is or isn't listening to this should start saying that, and that way we can claim it as our own.
We'll make it big. But that actually does make sense, because when you're playing jazz, you don't need to be as in tune because you're playing jazz.
Yes.
So you say close enough for jazz. So if you're doing something that doesn't require a lot of precision, close enough. That's close enough for jazz. It's close enough for us. The end. I feel like this has been a very educational episode of the Time Bash.
We learned all kinds of stuff on this episode.
We learned a lot. I feel like Mr. Rogers or something, right? And you're like the king, you know, in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about? The puppet king guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who that is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so you're like, you're the master of the real world, and I'm the master of like the fake world, the flip side.
I like how this is describing our life to a T. No, not really.
It's just like how we are normally.
It's just like, would you rather be Mr. Rogers or the king guy?
That's a tough choice. I think I'd choose Rogers, though.
Really?
So Mr. Okay, Rogers is so much cooler.
Okay, no, you're right.
Yeah.
You can be Rogers. I'll be the king. I kind of like the idea of having my own fantasy kingdom that I control.
I do too, but it's Mr. Rogers.
True. But, okay, so in real life, Mr. Rogers is much more well-known than the king guy. But in the fantasy kingdom, that king guy, he's like God to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To those like 10 people that live in that like place.
Yes.
He's their God. He's everything.
You're the God of, like, a land of metaphors and, like, educational messages for children.
That's me. That's who I want to be. I'll be remembered by those 10 people, and they worship me. That's been episode 44 of the Time Bat Show. I've been Time Aces.
And I am Bat Snacks.
And remember,
when you've got some spicy kimchi,
remember to win free.
Arrivederci.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.